Hi, I'm Dave Summers, and welcome to AMA's Edgewise, where you will hear fresh insights from recognized thought leaders across a wide range of subject matters. AMA's Edgewise is brought to you by the American Management Association. The AMA is a global leader in professional development and education, improving the immediate performance and long-term growth of individuals and organizations. Check us out on our website, www.amanet.org. In the late 1970s, Mayor Ed Koch transformed himself from a political underdog with little money and few connections into one of America's most illustrious mayors. In his three terms as mayor, he brought the city of New York out of bankruptcy, created a renowned housing program, and paved the way to the city's ongoing economic and cultural prosperity. How did he rise from relative obscurity to become an enduring icon of America's largest city? In his latest book, Buzz, Koch shares the secrets of his success that will help readers everywhere become masters of self-marketing. With his legendary candor and in-your-face style, he reveals how anyone can use his techniques to attract the right kind of attention in order to achieve positive and lasting results. Mayor Koch, welcome to the program. Our first question is, why did you decide to write a book about buzz? I mean, what does buzz mean to you?
It's not hard. I'm not talking about the buzz of a Paris Hilton who shows off her torso and does bizarre things in order to get attention. I'm talking about relevancy, and that relates to people wanting to know your opinion and respecting your opinion. In my case, it's being asked to support candidates who are running for office, which I do. Entering a room, people will come, and reporters, if they're in the room, will come and ask for my opinion on different things. And I enjoy that. I mean, I'm frank to say I enjoy that. And the rules are very simple. At least they have been for me. The first rule is be yourself. Don't try to be somebody else. And I always point out when I discuss it that nobody said it better than Shakespeare when he wrote Hamlet, and Polonius said to his son Laertes, "This above all, to thine own self be true." That is a cardinal rule. And the second rule is don't exaggerate when you talk, and don't lie in particular. And most people don't intend to lie, but they make up things because they want to be relevant and they think they have to know things. And when I was mayor, I used to say, and it's not totally true, but it's mostly true, I would say, you know, I find that with so many people, 70% of what they say isn't factual. It's an exaggeration. And if you want to get something down to the bare minimum of total correctness, get it in writing. And then in all probability, 10% will be exaggeration. The third rule is be not afraid. Now, I happen to be Jewish, and that happens to be the title of a Catholic hymn. And I love that hymn. The meaning for me was so strong that I took it as the motto of my administration, and I put the motto on my desk, be not afraid. And by that I mean, don't worry that you're going to make mistakes. Don't worry that you're going to fail. Do worry if you don't initiate. And if you're going to be initiating things, then you have to take chances and use your common sense. Use your gut that tells you, yeah, you can do this reasonably safely. I mean, I don't want you to throw yourself out of a window to find out whether or not you can fly, because you can't. But I do want you to try new things. And if you use those rules, I believe the buzz will be yours.
And do you believe that those three rules apply as much to the business world as to the public sector?
Everybody in every profession, every business, it is not at all limited to people in public office.
Okay, when you came into your role as mayor, how did you start to use buzz to support and get things done?
Most people don't believe it when I say it, but I have a retiring personality. It's a struggle for me. Not so much anymore because of all the years that have gone by when I've been, you know, the center of attention as mayor and so forth. But when I came in, I said to myself, if I am to get people to follow me, I have to be bigger than life. I can't be a retiring personality. I have to be able to say, as I said early in my administration to crowds, if you follow me, I will lead you across the desert. Now, that's a tough statement to make. It's sort of crazy. But people said, sure. And they did follow me. Or when the strike occurred for our subways and our buses and so forth, and I went down to the Brooklyn Bridge and I said to people who were walking across the bridge, walk over the bridge, walk over the bridge. We're not going to let these bastards, referring to the illegal strikers, bring us to our knees. And people began to applaud. So what I did, which was a little foreign to me, in the sense of I wouldn't, before becoming mayor, ever think of making the statement, I'll lead you across the desert, or spontaneously say to people by the thousands who are walking over the bridge, walk over the bridge! And people began to applaud. And I believe that kind of immediacy, that kind of reaction, that kind of buoying up the spirits of people, saying, we're not going to take it, we're going to win, would be examples of what I had in mind.
Okay, here's the big question. How do you engage with an audience?
Well, I'll tell you what the secret is, at least for me. I never read a speech. I have a speech available that I've written in case I need it, if I were to black out. I've never blacked out. So it's there. But I know my subject matter. And when I know my subject matter, what I want to be able to do is to talk directly to people and look them in the eyes. Very important. Eye contact. There are people who can read superbly. I'm not one of them. But speaking extemporaneously, I'm pretty good.
And what's the biggest mistake that people make when they try to use buzz?
I think the biggest mistake they make is to lose their credibility by seeking constantly to be on and talking and saying things that they're not qualified to say, simply to be part of the conversation. There's nothing wrong with shutting up.
And when you are perceived as having made a mistake, how do you manage your buzz? This probably has something to do with one of your three main points. I think the one about honesty.
I think that speaking the truth requires your willingness to admit error. And that's what lots of people are unable to do. I said, I'm happy to admit error because people respond to that. Everybody makes errors in their lives. And if a leader, in the sense that we're talking about, is willing to say, I made an error. And I said, listen, I'm happy to say it, and I have said it. For example, the best one I can illustrate this with is that I had a commissioner who I thought was a very good commissioner, but that she needed, because of her age, needed a younger person as her deputy. And so I said I was going to appoint someone that I had confidence in to be her deputy. And she said no, she couldn't do that. She would have to leave the government. And I realized then, and she left, what a terrible mistake I made. And I went on television, and I apologized. And I said, she was right, I was wrong, I shouldn't have done that, and I'm really very, very sorry. And I think as a result of that, I felt better. But in addition, I think people said, hey, that's unusual.
How does managing your organization's buzz relate to managing your organization? And how much do you need to exert control over what your staff is doing to stay consistent with the overall message you want to send?
Now, you have to be able to designate and give authority to others. You cannot, but you have to keep control in the sense of reporting back. I used to require commissioners to give me a monthly report on the good and the bad of their agency and to confine it to 3 pages so it was containable, because after all, there are about 50 commissioners. And I answered every such report, because the key is that the commissioners know you've read it and the commissioners know you're interested in it. I met with the commissioners on a regular basis individually. I would have them on occasion come to City Hall with the top 10 people in their administration, or I would go to their agency and have breakfast with them. Now, obviously, there are a limited number of occasions when you're doing this throughout your government. I would, for example, when it came to this housing program, which was the largest housing program ever undertaken by a city with its own monies. It was a $5.1 billion housing program to be spent over a 10-year period. It was spent without corruption, without scandals, and we built 250,000 housing units at affordable rents. But the reason it got done, the commissioners told me, there were two who were primarily responsible during the life of the program. It got done because I announced that the housing commissioner, unlike all the other commissioners, the one in charge of building this housing, it's called HPD, Housing Preservation and Development, would meet with me every Friday at 2 o'clock. And the whole government knew it. And what the commissioner said came out of that was that the whole government knew this was my highest priority, because I wasn't meeting with any other commissioner every Friday or any other day, every week. And therefore, every commissioner, said the HPD commissioner, would extend themselves, because what the mayor wants is what the commissioners who were appointed by the mayor want him to have.
Finally, in your book, you talk about buzz in terms of communicating a legacy that others will eagerly support. So how would you sum up the legacy that you left as mayor of New York City?
I wanted a city that would be perceived as governable. The knock on New York City was when I came in, everybody thought I would fail because they said New York City is not governable. I changed that attitude. I wanted people to understand that you can't spend money that you don't have, that it's nice to have programs that help people, and where you can afford them, wonderful. Where you take them on and you can't afford to pay for them, that leads you to bankruptcy. And the people who suffer the most are the poor people, because the rich will leave at the first sign of trouble and the middle class will not be too far behind. The poor are stuck here. They can't leave. And I was amused when Mike Bloomberg was quoted in an article in which he said that he brought the business methods to the city of New York. And Giuliani was then interviewed, and he said, meaning Giuliani, I did that before him. And I'm thinking to myself, what am I, chopped liver? It was I who balanced the budget, which is the first business priority. So it was funny in a way.
The book is Buzz, How to Create It and Win With It, published by Amacom Books, and the author is Mayor Ed Koch. Thank you, Mayor. Thank you. Yes, now it's time for You've Been Spotted, where we interview random people who are attending a workshop or seminar at one of our five executive conference centers. For more information on our executive conference centers and seminars, please visit our website at www.amanet.org. Take it away, Kevin.
Today at the AMA Center, I'm visiting AMA's seminar, Projecting a Positive Professional Image, led by veteran AMA faculty member Dinah Day. I'm asking participants to think about someone whose image they admire.
The person that I admire for their public image is actually the president of our company. He is very positive and very outgoing, and he talks to everybody, knows everybody's names. And it's very impressive, the kind of rapport he has with all the employees in the company, which is about a 1,400-employee company. The company promotes a family-caring culture, and his attitude and his personality and his image in the public and throughout the company definitely exemplifies that.
Putting aside his political views would be Bill Clinton. Most people will tell you that he knows how to work an audience. Obviously, he's extremely well-prepared. And by being prepared, he doesn't have to look at his notes all the time. His speaking cadence is one of comfort versus one who speaks at a higher speed. It's just a relaxed, well-informed conversation.
I worked for a company for 24 years, and I see one of the guys, Robert Kent. He's the director of engineering, but he's one of the best person I ever met. And the way he is, he always says, present yourself truly what you are. Anybody comes with a question, he's so nice. And it works. It really works in the real life too. I have tried what he has done it, and it helps a lot.
My name is Dinah Day, and I teach business communication skills, self-esteem, and personal presentation for the AMA. It's a two-day class, but for me it's like 48 hours straight because I'm always thinking about it and thinking about the people in the class. Sent them an email before the class started just to welcome them because everybody's kind of skittish when it comes to the word image. In this particular group, confidence and worrying were the two main issues that people were concerned with. And I've noticed some big changes in a couple of the people who were more difficult when they came in yesterday.
What's something that you've taken from this class so far?
Basically, perception is reality. So, you know, you have to project a good image, speak well for people to look upon you. That just gets you in the door. You know, you have to then follow up with substance. But just having substance without the people wanting to first ask or seek you is a major thing I've learned today.
I think the biggest thing is being present in the situation. Dinah Day is great in terms of talking about being there and listening and to become a better listener by not worrying about past and future, but really just being there in the present. And I think that was a good takeaway.
The suggestions on how you dress, not to dress at your level, but to dress to the level you want to be. So if you're a manager and you would like to be a director, and directors in your company dress a certain way, you could start dressing like them so that people could notice that that's something you aspire to.
Remember, we'd really like your feedback. So please drop us an email note at podcast@amanet.org or call us at 800-697-3406. That's 800-697-3406. Thanks for taking us along. I'm Dave Summers, and you've been listening to AMA's Edgewise.